Matthew in chapter 8. Book of Matthew, chapter 8. Appreciate your presence this evening. Appreciate your prayers. This morning we talked about the cost of salvation. The cost of our eternity in heaven. What it cost Jesus. And after Jesus paid this price, for those of us who are saved, He sealed us. Saved forever. We can't lose that salvation. But after that, he promises a lot of things. We're not going to get in depth in the promises of God tonight. I want to look at it in a little different direction. He promises to take care of us. He promises to heal us. He promises to guide us. The book of Matthew in chapter 8, we're going to begin in verse 1. The book of Matthew in chapter 8, going to begin in verse 1. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for everything you've given us, everything you've done for us, God. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us to come to your house and worship. God, that we might read your word, that we might be spiritually fed. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your Son Jesus, and in him we might have eternal life. God, we thank you for the throne of grace that we can come before in prayer. We thank you for the mercy that you have on us on a daily basis. God, I pray you'd help us see this in a better light. God, help us so we can depend on you greater in our everyday life in the midst of the turmoil of this world. God, be with us through this service. Help us so we can open our hearts. Forgive us for we fail you. Thank you most of all for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. In this day and time, leprosy was something that was feared. It was something that people didn't really want to catch because there wasn't a cure for it except Jesus. Leprosy was something that was, well, was distanced. And they had to be socially distant just a little bit further than everybody else. They weren't allowed in the cities. Whenever they saw people coming toward them, they had to holler, unclean, unclean. Just because they were a leper, it was skin disease. And so whenever Jesus came to this man, Jesus didn't come and distance himself. It said he touched him. Jesus did not fear the things that the men of this world feared. Anybody in here have a fear? I'm terrified of snakes. I hate them. They're unnatural. I don't like them. My neighbor's terrified of yellow jackets. Everybody has fears. That's natural. And if we're not scared of something, we're not being honest with ourselves. Here in this day and age, these people were scared of leprosy. And whenever I say I have a fear of snakes, I mean if I see a snake, I'm going to shoot it. If these people saw a leper, they went way around it. If I see a yellow jacket, I'm going around it. How many people did Jesus walk around? He said he came to them. He went into the house with sinners. The lepers here came and worshiped him. We're going to read on down in verse 5. It says, And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, Lord, thy servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say unto this man, Go, and he goeth. And to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. We see of two instances here that the men came to Jesus. First, the leper came and worshiped Jesus. And then the centurion came beseeching of Jesus. These men came seeking Jesus. But they came seeking him out of a heart of faith that most of the time we know very little about. I heard a story one time, and it's probably been told hundreds and thousands of times, of the boys or the men that got together and was praying for their crops. It was really, really dry. And they all got together to pray for rain. And a little boy came with them. He said, "Daddy, can I come?" Daddy said, "Yeah, come on. We're going to pray for rain. We're going to the church house." Little boy grabbed his umbrella and took off. The little boy had more faith than the men did. It's figuratively, but yes. The little boy had more faith. This leper came to Jesus. Do you believe if the leper didn't believe in his heart that Jesus would heal him, you think he still would have healed him? Let's read it again. Verse 2, "Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole." I need to read that one more time. Let me put it in my words. "Lord, if you want to, you can fix me. I know you can. I'm 100% positive of your abilities." He didn't say, "Lord, I think you can. Won't you give it a shot and we'll see what happens?" Whenever we pray, whenever we ask God to make us clean, whenever we ask God to increase our faith, whenever we ask God for a closer relationship with Him, are we asking from a heart of faith, knowing that He can, or hoping that He'll do something? Are we asking of a heart that understands that if God will, He can do whatever He wants? Amen. He's capable of more than our minds can imagine. And here this man came, he said, "I know you can do it." And Jesus said unto him, "I will, be thou clean." And he touched him and his leprosy was healed. Just that fast. Jesus changed this man's life. Jesus changed everything about him. He was no longer unclean. If we bring our problems, our uncleanness to Jesus, and there's two sides to this, and we're going to try to hit on one side tonight. If we bring our problems, if we bring our failures, our shortcomings to Jesus, He can help us. He can cleanse us. He can make us better. He can help us be approachable. He can help us be an influence. He can help us be a witness. But there's a stipulation. And a lot of times this scripture is used to preach salvation, and that's the other side of it. Jesus can cleanse us from all sin. But today I want to focus a little bit on us that's saved. And Jesus will cleanse us from the infirmities in our life. Whenever we're saved, God forgives us of sin. We're forgiven of all sin. Our soul is clean and sealed, perfect, under the blood of Jesus Christ. But me, as a man, I can still sin. I can still mess up. We don't like to admit it, do we, Brother Ed? But we do. We mess up all the time. More times than we care to admit. Can't count them. We sung the song, "I Count My Blessings," this morning. We can't count our blessings, but we can't count our problems either. We can't count the times that we've messed up. We can't count our shortcomings. We can't count our infirmities. But if we would allow God, and that's the important thing about the leper and the centurion here, is that they had to seek out Jesus. They had to ask. Jesus has the ability to cleanse us, to heal us. But we have to ask. We have to be willing to come and submit unto Him and say, "Look, I can't do this. The doctors can't do this without your help. I can't be what God has called me to be as a preacher, as a teacher, as a husband, as a father, as a person. I can't be what God wants me to be without His help. Not going to happen." In the same way, this man could not be whole without Jesus' help. In verse 5, "And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came a centurion beseeching Him." This centurion, all the power that he had, he said he could tell people to go and they go, come and come. He said, "Whatever I tell them to do, they do it. I say jump, they say how high." But he couldn't fix his servant. He couldn't help the man that was on the bed sick of the palsy. He couldn't do anything for him. All the powers of this world couldn't do anything for him. But this man came to him with a heart of faith. Jesus saith unto him, verse 7, I will come and heal him. No doubt the man had the utmost faith in Jesus. But look at the heart that he approached Jesus with. He said, Lord, I am not worthy for thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. Several times in the Bible we see people that didn't feel worthy of Jesus. If you're here and you think that you're worthy of Jesus, you're sadly mistaken. We're not worthy of Jesus. We're not worthy of His help. But what did He promise? There's a song we used to sing in Bible school, and the only reason I remember it, it's wonderful words, but I was this big, and so I remembered it because it had a neat little beat. Ask and ye shall find, ask anywhere, give a knock, and the door shall be open. It was a beautiful song. It was a weird song, but it was a beautiful song. And it was about asking. But if I ask and I don't have the heart, if I don't have my heart in the right place, if I'm not believing in faith even before I come and ask, is that door really going to be open? I believe that ask goes hand in hand with a faithful heart. I believe that knock goes hand in hand with someone who is humble enough to know that I can't do it. To know that we can't do it. To know that we're dirty. And we need Jesus to clean us. To cleanse us. To take care of us. And we're talking about post-salvation. Even after we get saved, we still need Jesus. It's not over. Verse 10, and I can't find this anywhere else in the New Testament. If you find it, please let me know. I hadn't seen it. I may have missed over it. But in verse 10, it says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. There may be another one, but there's not very many places that Jesus marveled. I don't think anything can surprise God. I think that this was put here for our benefit. I believe that Jesus was very, very proud of the faith of this man. It said that Jesus marveled and said unto them that followed, proving a point. He said, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. Can you imagine? I'm just thinking about this as from my standpoint, from a perspective of a man. Whenever somebody brags on me, I feel proud. And Jesus, the ultimate authority, said, I hadn't found this kind of faith anywhere. Can you imagine what that man was feeling? I don't think that got the man puffed up. We read about his character in the three verses above this, and it said that he was humble enough that he didn't feel worthy of Jesus. I believe Jesus used these words to teach everyone else around them. I believe Jesus put these words here to teach us today that if we come to Him in a humble and contrite spirit, that if we come to Him with a willing heart and we ask Him, He can cleanse us. Amen. He can heal us. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of John in chapter 5. The book of John in chapter 5. I've heard this song. I think Brother Brent Brumfield may have sung it one time. It's the only time I ever heard it. But the song goes, Wilt thou be made whole? And there's been a lot of messages preached from that verse. It makes a lot of sense. John in chapter 5, verse 5, it says, a certain man was there which had an infirmity of 38 years. They laid at the pool of the troubled waters. And once a year the angel would come down and stir the waters, and the first person in would be healed. This man had been there for 38 years. And was never able to be the first person in. He'd been there 38 years. Let that sink in. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there a long time, in that case he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Here Jesus is speaking to each and every one of us today and asking us, will we be made whole? He asks us that every day. The day that we got saved, Jesus was asking us, will you be made whole? The first time that we sinned after we got saved, God was tugging on our heart asking us, will we be made whole? Will we ask for forgiveness? Will we understand, even though our soul has been cleansed from sin in our life, we can still mess up. And we have to be forgiven of that as well. We have to come to God knowing that He can help us, knowing that He can cleanse us, understanding that He wants to. Realizing that His love goes far beyond what we can even think about comprehending. Matthew in chapter 9, we have to understand that even if we have great faith, we're still not to the point that God wants us to be. Even if we're very humble, we're still not to the point that God wants us to be. If anybody in here thinks that you have reached that point, that you're exactly where God wants you to be in your spiritual life, please let me know. I've never reached that point. I've talked with several preachers, older preachers, and they've never reached that point. I've talked to men that weren't preachers and just upstanding, righteous examples. And even in their old age, they say they're not where they need to be. I know that I'm ignorant concerning the work of God. I don't know what I need to. My faith is not where it needs to be. My patience is not where it needs to be. I'm not as humble as I should be. But I also understand that the only person that can help me with that is Jesus. I also understand the only person that can get in the way of that is me. Jesus wants to help each and every one of us. Jesus wants to raise us up. Jesus wants us to draw closer to Him. He wants to cleanse us. He wants to heal us. And the only person that can stand in our way is me. Matthew in chapter 9, verse 10. Matthew in chapter 9, verse 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Listen to the response. I love this verse. But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, when He heard that, commas are important. He said unto him, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. One more time. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that be sick, but they that are sick. I try real hard to avoid the doctor. But when I'm sick, I go. Jesus said here that the ones that are healthy are not in need of a physician, but the ones that are sick are. Spiritually, each and every one of us are sick. We may have a close relationship with God, but there's somewhere we can grow. There's somewhere that we can get better. Jesus came for us. Amen. If you're here and lost, Jesus came for you. Jesus came for mankind as an example and as a sacrifice. A lot of times we see Jesus as the Savior of the world. He is, 100%, wholeheartedly. He also came to live as an example. Jesus is often compared to the bar. Whenever you set the bar high, everything else measures up to that bar. Jesus is the bar that we'll never reach. Jesus is the golden standard that we'll never get to. Not only did Jesus come to this earth as a propitiation, Jesus came as an example. Jesus came for us even after we're saved, that we could learn from Him and that we could be whole through Him. Wilt thou be made clean? Wilt thou be made whole? We have to be willing. We have to allow ourselves to humble ourselves to the point that we say, yes, Jesus, I need your help. Because if we're ever in the mindset that we don't, we're in trouble. If we're ever in the mindset that we can do it on our own, we're in trouble. Because the best that we have is nothing. the most power that I can muster up can't make my heart beat one more time. All the strength that I can even think about getting, I can't take one more breath unless God gives it to me. And too many times we depend on the things of this world. We try to put our faith and trust in... How many times do we put faith and trust in the meteorologist? How many times are they right? A friend of mine told me one time at a career fair, he said, "You want a job that you never get in trouble for being wrong all the time? Go be a meteorologist." Yet we trust them. I look at my weather app to see how my week is going to go. How many times do we put the same faith in God? How many times do we put the same trust in Jesus? Whenever we're sick, we'll go to the doctor. Do we pray before or after? Whenever something goes wrong, we'll try to fix it. Do we pray before or after? The correct answer should be both. God says if we'll come before Him, He'll help us. Jesus says if we'll pray to Him, He'll answer us. May not always be the answer we want. May not be on the schedule that we think we need. But if we place our faith and hope in Jesus, He will take care of us. Amen. If we find ourselves in trouble, the first person we should turn to is Jesus. If we find ourselves around a snake or a yellow jacket, whenever the fear of the world, the riots and the COVID and the Saharan dust and the Great Depression and racism and... You can't let the fear of the world get between you and God. Because God controls that. He didn't instigate it. He allows it to happen. Because somewhere, somebody's getting a benefit from it. I heard by word of mouth that the lady Sunday school this morning was on seeing God's blessings through the trials. The man that was sick of the palsy was sick for 38 years. How many people do you think got a blessing from him being well that last year? Even him being sick for 38 years, do you think he was upset at Jesus for not coming 10 years ago? Or do you think he was excited that Jesus healed him? We oftentimes can't see the things that God has done for us until we get to look at it in hindsight. Amen. Because as we're going through troubles, they look tough. They look difficult. They look hard. But whenever we look back on them, we understand that they were for our benefit. Whenever the leprous man came to Jesus, he knew that he could have been killed for coming in contact with people that didn't have leprosy. On purpose. Yet he came before Jesus and worshiped him. The centurion recognized that even in all his power, in all his authority, he couldn't do anything without Jesus. The man that was at the pool, he said, "I have no help." He was laying there and nobody could do anything for him except Jesus. Friend, if you're here in trouble today, there's nobody here that can do anything for you the way Jesus can. There's no doctor on the planet that can do anything for you the way Jesus can. Regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of what's going on in our country, regardless of what's going on in the fellowship hall next door, God can take care of everything. And Jesus can raise us up. Jesus can cleanse us. We have to come with a willing heart and open mind and ask out of faith. Oh, I have a verse for some. We would like to offer a verse of invitation if someone would have anything on their heart.